Welcome back to the Mbaga Media Finance Podcast. Today, we're diving into a significant development in the pharmaceutical world, specifically concerning the highly sought-after GLP-1 drugs. It's been a space marked by incredible innovation, but also by soaring costs. Now, there's a new twist. The Trump administration has finalized a pricing agreement with Eli Lilly and Novo Nordisk, the companies behind many of these popular medications.
That's right, host. This agreement is specifically aimed at making these often prohibitively expensive drugs more accessible. The central promise is straightforward: lower prices. But as we know in the complex world of drug pricing, the devil is often in the details, and we'll need to unpack what this really means for patients and the market.
Exactly. This deal brings together the Trump administration, signaling a move to manage drug expenditures, and the pharmaceutical giants, Eli Lilly and Novo Nordisk. These are the companies producing drugs like Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro, and Zepbound, which have gained massive attention not just for diabetes management but also for their significant impact on weight loss. The agreement is designed to offer financial relief to specific groups of recipients.
And the primary beneficiaries highlighted are recipients of Medicare and Medicaid, programs that collectively serve millions of Americans who rely on these medications. Additionally, the deal involves a new platform called TrumpRx.gov, which aims to provide a transparent channel for pricing and potentially for negotiation directly with consumers. It's a multi-pronged approach.
It certainly is. Now, the initial reaction to such an announcement is typically a mix of hope and skepticism. While any step towards affordability is welcome, the history of drug pricing in the US is notoriously complex. This new accord will undoubtedly face intense scrutiny as we all try to understand its true ramifications. So, let's start by unpacking that core promise: lower prices.
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? What exactly does lower prices mean in this context? The announcement is quite broad, and the specifics of the negotiated discounts haven't been fully disclosed. We're talking about drugs that can cost hundreds, even thousands, of dollars per month before any potential savings. For people managing chronic conditions or seeking weight management solutions, this cost is a massive barrier.
Precisely. The agreement attempts to carve out benefits for different groups. For Medicare and Medicaid recipients, the commitment is to reduce their out-of-pocket expenses. For users of TrumpRx.gov, the website is positioned as a tool to access these reduced prices, possibly through direct negotiation or curated access to discounted supplies. The role of this website is particularly interesting.
Yes, is TrumpRx.gov just a gateway to existing discounts, or is it intended to be a more active player in price negotiation, acting as a government-backed consumer advocate? This leads to the crucial question: are these real discounts that reflect a genuine reduction in the drug's cost to the system, or are they more like accounting adjustments or rebates that shift costs around without fundamentally changing the overall price structure?
And we also need to understand the scope of this agreement. Which specific GLP-1 drugs are included? Does it cover Ozempic and Mounjaro for diabetes, as well as Wegovy and Zepbound for weight loss, or is it a more limited selection? This is vital information for patients who rely on these specific medications for their health management.
Absolutely. And crucially, when can beneficiaries expect to see these price changes? The timeline for implementation is critical for patients currently struggling with the high costs. Without concrete timelines and transparent discount structures, the announcement, while promising, remains somewhat abstract for those who need these drugs the most. This lack of detail is precisely why we're seeing so much analyst scrutiny.
That's a perfect transition to our next section, analyst scrutiny. The immediate sentiment in financial and healthcare circles is that this pact raises more questions than it answers. This isn't necessarily opposition, but rather a professional skepticism demanding more data. The recurring theme is the lack of transparency regarding the exact percentage of discounts, the baseline prices, the duration of the agreement, and the conditions for these discounts.
And these missing components make it incredibly difficult to assess the true financial impact. Furthermore, the limited scope of beneficiaries is a major concern. By focusing on Medicare, Medicaid, and users of TrumpRx.gov, the deal might not address the affordability crisis for millions with commercial insurance or those who are uninsured. This could create a tiered system of access.
There's also the potential for loopholes. Could drug makers offset these discounts elsewhere? Perhaps by increasing prices for other drugs or reducing investment in R&D for future treatments? These are the strategic considerations analysts are weighing. We also need to consider the impact on overall drug pricing. Is this a groundbreaking shift in government negotiation or a politically motivated announcement with limited long-term implications?
That question of precedent is huge. If this deal sets a new standard for government negotiation, it could fundamentally alter the pharmaceutical industry's business model. And what about market distortion? If a select few companies get preferential pricing, could that stifle innovation from smaller companies or create an uneven playing field? It really comes down to whether this is a sustainable solution or a politically timed announcement lacking substance.
The visual of money flowing through complex channels with question marks hovering over key interaction points really captures this uncertainty, doesn't it? It encapsulates the anticipation for relief alongside the ambiguity surrounding the delivery mechanisms and ultimate impact.
It does. Moving beyond the immediate reactions and analytical dissection, we need to consider the broader implications for patients and the entire pharmaceutical landscape. For individuals struggling to afford these life-changing medications, the deal offers a glimmer of hope, but it's tempered by the possibility that they might not be direct beneficiaries.
The patient perspective is absolutely paramount. Many have experienced transformative benefits from GLP-1 drugs, improving their quality of life and managing chronic conditions. The inability to access these treatments due to cost causes immense frustration and anxiety. This agreement, while potentially positive, might not reach everyone who needs it.
This agreement also forces us to re-examine the role of government negotiation in drug pricing in the U.S. For decades, direct government negotiation has been largely absent, unlike in many other developed nations. If this deal sets a new precedent, it could significantly alter the pharmaceutical industry's established business models. It's also worth comparing potential U.S. prices to international benchmarks, where significant savings are already common.
That's a critical point. If this deal brings U.S. prices closer to global averages for certain groups, that's a significant step. However, we must also consider the long-term sustainability. Pharmaceutical pricing is incredibly dynamic, influenced by demand, patents, and ongoing research. Can these negotiated prices hold up over time, especially with the surging demand for GLP-1s?
And what about the vast population of Americans who are uninsured or have commercial insurance plans not covered by this specific agreement? Are they simply left out of this supposed breakthrough? We can't ignore the political context either. Healthcare costs are a central issue, and an election cycle is approaching. The timing and framing of this deal are undeniably strategic, designed to project an image of action and problem-solving.
Let's delve deeper into the nuances of real discounts versus accounting adjustments, as you mentioned. When we talk about lower prices for drugs like Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro, and Zepbound, which can have sticker prices well over $1,000 a month, what does that truly mean? Even with good insurance, these costs are challenging, and for the uninsured, they're often insurmountable.
The announcement suggests a reduction for Medicare and Medicaid recipients, which is vital. Medicare covers over 60 million Americans, and Medicaid covers around 70 million. For these individuals, even a modest reduction in out-of-pocket costs could mean consistent treatment adherence versus struggling, rationing doses, or stopping medication altogether. Think about Sarah, a retired teacher on Medicare using Mounjaro.
Right, Sarah's story highlights the real-world impact. Her substantial copay for Mounjaro, impacting her retirement savings, could be significantly eased by this deal. This isn't just financial relief, it's a lifeline for maintaining her health and independence. Then there's the TrumpRx.gov platform, which is quite novel.
Indeed. The idea of a direct-to-consumer website offering negotiated prices is an interesting departure. It positions the government, or a government-affiliated entity, as a direct intermediary in the consumer drug market. The key question is how it will function. Will it aggregate demand for better pricing? provide transparent comparisons? Or just direct users to existing discount programs?
The effectiveness hinges on whether it offers genuine price advantages not already accessible, and if it's trustworthy and easy to use. If it's seen as just another bureaucratic hurdle or marketing tool, its impact will be minimal. And this brings us back to the crucial distinction between a real discount and an accounting adjustment.
Exactly. Pharmaceutical companies often provide rebates to insurers and PBMs for favorable formulary placement. These rebates are substantial but don't always translate into lower out-of-pocket costs for patients, especially those with high deductibles or coinsurance. The announcement implies a more direct reduction, but the language is vague. Is the administration securing a lower list price or negotiating larger rebates that become lower copays?
The former would be a more significant structural change, while the latter could be more of a reshuffling of existing financial flows. As we piece this together, it's clear that while progress is claimed, the path forward is intricate and requires vigilance. As listeners, it's worth reflecting on your own experiences or concerns about drug affordability. Have you faced challenges accessing necessary medications due to cost?
What are your hopes and fears surrounding developments like this? This is a conversation that affects us all, directly or indirectly. Looking ahead, the crucial next steps involve monitoring the effectiveness of this deal. Will the promised lower prices materialize for Medicare and Medicaid beneficiaries? Will TrumpRx.gov become an impactful platform?
We need robust data and transparent reporting to track these outcomes. There's also the potential for future negotiations or expansions of this agreement. If this initial pact proves successful, it could pave the way for broader price reductions or agreements covering more drugs in patient populations. This situation is playing out against the backdrop of an intense debate about drug pricing reform in the US.
This deal, whatever its ultimate impact, is a significant development in that larger conversation. It highlights the tension between incentivizing innovation through profits and the ethical imperative to ensure life-saving medications are accessible and affordable. The pharmaceutical industry navigates a delicate balance between R&D, widespread accessibility, and affordability.
How this deal influences future pricing strategies for other high-cost medications, especially in emerging therapeutic areas, remains to be seen. It could set a precedent, encouraging other administrations or private payers to pursue similar direct negotiation tactics. Conversely, if it's ineffective, it might reinforce the status quo.
Ultimately, the critical need for transparency and robust data cannot be overstated. Without them, it's incredibly difficult for the public, analysts, and policymakers to truly evaluate the success or failure of such agreements. This deal with Eli Lilly and Novo Nordisk is significant, a bold move on the drug pricing chessboard, but likely just one chapter in a larger story.
The real impact will be measured not in press releases, but in tangible patient relief and lasting changes in pharmaceutical affordability. The visual of money flowing through complex channels with question marks perfectly encapsulates this uncertainty. It's a fitting metaphor for a situation where the promise of relief is tangible, yet the mechanisms and ultimate beneficiaries are still shrouded in fog.
And that uncertainty leads us to our summary table, where we can break down the key factors, strengths, challenges, and opportunities presented by this GLP-1 pricing deal. Let's start with the core pricing agreement itself.
Under strengths and insights, the core promise is indeed lower prices for GLP-1 drugs, especially for Medicare and Medicaid recipients, aiming to boost accessibility. The introduction of TrumpRx.gov is a novel, direct-to-consumer channel for potential price negotiation and transparency, which is quite innovative.
However, the challenges and opportunities section highlights significant concerns. There's a lack of specific discount details, unclear implementation timelines, and the potential for accounting adjustments rather than genuine price reductions. This creates understandable skepticism. Furthermore, the limited scope of beneficiaries leaves many uninsured or commercially insured individuals unaffected.
Moving to the GLP-1 drugs themselves. The strength here is undeniable. These medications like Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro, and Zepbound have shown remarkable efficacy for type 2 diabetes and weight management. They are high-demand, high-impact treatments, and this agreement targets some of the most sought-after drugs on the market.
The challenge, of course, is their exorbitant cost, which remains a major barrier to access. The success of this agreement hinges entirely on whether it can deliver substantial and sustainable price reductions that genuinely impact patients' out-of-pocket expenses. That's the ultimate test.
Next, let's look at the beneficiary groups. A key strength is the focus on Medicare and Medicaid recipients, directly addressing a large, vulnerable population reliant on these treatments. TrumpRx.gov also aims to empower consumers with pricing information and potentially better deals, which is a positive step for consumer engagement.
On the flip side, the exclusion of individuals with commercial insurance or those who are uninsured is a significant challenge. This could potentially exacerbate healthcare disparities. And the effectiveness and user-friendliness of TrumpRx.gov are yet to be proven. It might not offer advantages beyond existing discount programs, which would limit its impact.
Considering the market impact and precedent, this agreement could signal a shift towards more direct government negotiation of drug prices. This might set a precedent for future administrations and influence the pharmaceutical industry's pricing strategies for other high-cost medications, which is a significant insight.
However, there's a risk of market distortion if preferential pricing creates an uneven playing field. We also need to watch the pharmaceutical industry's response and their potential to recoup costs elsewhere, perhaps through R&D cuts or price hikes on other drugs. The long-term sustainability of negotiated prices in such a dynamic market remains uncertain.
Finally, transparency and data. A strength is the aim for a more transparent channel via TrumpRx.gov, potentially demystifying drug pricing for consumers. Public scrutiny naturally encourages a demand for clearer data on discounts and their impact, which is a positive outcome of the announcement itself.
The major challenge here, as we've discussed extensively, is the current lack of specific details regarding discount percentages, baseline prices, agreement duration, and trigger conditions. This hinders a thorough evaluation. Robust data and transparent reporting are absolutely crucial for assessing the deal's true success and impact.
So, to wrap things up with our conclusion, titled Navigating Uncertainty Towards Affordability. As we continue to dissect this announcement, it's clear that while progress is claimed, the path forward remains intricate and warrants continued, vigilant observation. We've covered the introduction, all five sections, and now the summary.
Indeed. Looking ahead, the crucial next steps involve monitoring the effectiveness of this deal. Will the promised lower prices materialize for Medicare and Medicaid beneficiaries? Will TrumpRx.gov become a truly impactful platform? We need that robust data and transparent reporting to track these outcomes.
This situation is playing out against the backdrop of an intense debate about drug pricing reform in the U.S. This deal, whatever its ultimate impact, is a significant development in that larger conversation, highlighting the tension between incentivizing innovation and ensuring access.
The pharmaceutical industry operates on a delicate balance, and how this deal influences future pricing strategies for other high-cost medications is yet to be seen. It could set a precedent, or it might reinforce the status quo if it proves ineffective.
Ultimately, the critical need for transparency and robust data cannot be overstated. Without these elements, it's incredibly difficult for the public, analysts, and policymakers to truly evaluate the success or failure of such agreements. This deal is a significant development, but it's likely just one chapter in a much larger, ongoing story about healthcare costs and accessibility in America.
The real impact will be measured not in press releases, but in the tangible relief it brings to patients and the lasting changes it fosters in how we approach pharmaceutical affordability. That uncertainty, that fog of detail yet to be revealed, perfectly encapsulates where we stand.